Welcome to Contingency FM. I'm Phil, and this is
Matthew,
and we're teaching fellows at Southdown Set in Sunderland Hospital. And today we are starting this brand new episode in our new series on where we interview different hospital consultants on their routes into their specialties, what they like about it, what they find difficult, and to get some advice for juniors and new F1s rotating into different specialties about what they should look out for and be prepared for. So today we have joining us in our studio, which is my old office, Dr. Mickey Jacek, who's a cardiologist at South Tyneside.
Hello.
I guess I've just introduced you.
I have nothing to add to that at the minute.
First question, most important question today, have you got a joke for us?
I have got a very awful joke for you, but it's the best I could do, I'm afraid.
As I say, it's exactly what we're looking for, the type of quality content.
Here's my joke. There are two fish in a tank. One says to the other, "How would you drive this thing?"
How do you drive this thing?
No, that was the joke.
Oh.
I did tell you it was bad.
I was so geared up for like a knock knock. Who's there? I was ready for sort of the interaction. That is my bad. That is my bad. I'm really actually. Yeah, that's quality stuff. Excellent.
Good.
What was your route into cardiology? How did you briefly get?
So my route into cardiology. Well, I qualified in the days before the foundation program. So I did what effectively was sort of house jobs and then a medical rotation with different medical specialities. I think I'm one of those ones that probably didn't really know what they wanted to do at the start, and like some of my colleagues who had very clear career intentions to be paediatric neurosurgeons or whatever. But I generally enjoyed most of what I did and knew it was going to be a medical specialty but didn't really know which one. Mm. So at that time, again, there were opportunities to do standalone jobs. So I did effectively an SHO job in cardiology, quite enjoyed it, got the opportunity to stay on, do a little bit longer in that time. So built up a bit of experience and sort of familiarity with the specialty itself, and then applied for a training number. And the rest was sort of straightforward after that.
It's history, as they say.
Exactly, yeah.
What was it that pulled you towards it?
So cardiology itself, I think, as I said, I enjoyed most of the medical specialities I did. I knew I didn't want to be a surgeon. I think sort of for me, it was about patients. And I think having a patient who was asleep most of the time didn't really sort of fit with what I wanted from the job. But the thing about cardiology, I think, that attracted me mostly is it's a good blend of different sort of types of work. There's the acute stuff, there's sort of MI, ACS, arrhythmia work, there's more elective work, clinics, and sort of procedural work. So lots of practical potential for those that like sort of more hands-on and procedural work. So it was a good balance of all those things.
Has it changed at all since?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, it's probably true of all specialties. Things evolve over time. And I think some of the things that have changed in cardiology, particularly in the time I've been doing it, is been a much greater reliance on imaging techniques. So in the days of everyone with chest pain having an angiogram, we're now much more moving towards more non-invasive methods for assessing patients. So again, imaging itself is a big area within cardiology itself, and maybe not sort of something that in the time that I started cardiology was maybe as big as it is now.
Because certainly when I've talked to other juniors that are thinking about cardiology, the intervention side of things is something that comes up not infrequently. Is that still a big part of your role?
It's still important. I think, again, I agree. Most people, I think their view of cardiology is about sort of PCI, heart attacks, pacemakers. But some of the other aspects of it maybe aren't appreciated as much until you've actually spent some time in this specialty. And as I mentioned, imaging, so cardiac CT, cardiac MRI, echo, that's really sort of effectively the bread and butter of cardiology work these days. Another sort of growing subspecialty, if you like, of cardiology is sort of adult congenital heart disease. So we're obviously seeing more and more patients growing up to survive what in the past would have been sort of congenital heart problems, which would have reduced their lifespan. And so we need to provide specialists who are going to care for these patients now as well.
I guess it's quite a big mix as well, in terms of you've got patients who more on the palliative end of the spectrum, where sort of people with advanced heart failure that actually get to a ceiling of medical care where you can't do much about, and it starts to come to that, mixed with people you can do huge amounts for, sort of acute MIs and things like that.
Again, exactly right. I think in a way we're sort of victims of our own success, because treatment for acute heart attack particularly has advanced so much over the years. We're seeing more patients surviving heart attacks, living to later life, and obviously then a growth in the number of patients who are suffering from heart failure. So the approach to that, again, you mentioned the palliative input that's needed, but it's much more of a almost an elderly care medicine approach, where we're much more reliant on a multidisciplinary team, specialist nurses, palliative care teams, pharmacists. So the type of work that's involved in managing not just those patients but other aspects of cardiology is much more sort of multidisciplinary. So in terms of assessing patients for surgical intervention, again, this is much more a team effort these days, rather than sort of being down to one particular specialist.
The third question is, if you could be any kind of kitchen utensil, what would you be and why?
Right, this is one I've obviously had to consider in great depth and detail.
Yeah.
So I did ask for help from my wife. Her suggestion was I'd be a sieve, because anything she gives me I tend not to retain very well. But in terms of professionally, that was probably not appropriate. So from my own perspective, I think I'd like to be a fridge, because I think I'm quite good at keeping cool. And when things get heated, it's important to have something that can keep cool in that situation. So
a solid fridge analogy. Yeah. I was thinking, when we were discussing this question, I think we're thinking, how much do you read into these things? But I think that's a nice, way of...
Good. I'll remember that if I ever get a job interview in the future.
It's good to have these things up your sleeve so that you can bring them up in worst case scenarios. But now you're prepared for if this ever happens again.
So I suppose the fourth question then would be, is there anything that you would change about your career choice, or anything that you find difficult?
I mean, looking back, I think I've ended up where I've ended up because of the route I've taken, so I don't think I'd change anything. I mean, there's different ways of getting into specialities. I wouldn't necessarily sort of mandate that you have to follow a particular route, because there's lots of different ways to getting to where you want to be. In terms of the challenge, I think again it's probably not just specific to cardiology, but trying to keep on top of any specialty, I think is quite difficult. I think things move at such a pace, new things come along, the evidence changes, and trying to keep on top of all that can be quite difficult. I think we're exposed to so much information now, not just sort of from online sources, but social media, the mainstream media, as well as sort of the medical press and research articles. Trying to sort of collate what's important and what's not important is quite difficult. But there's different ways of trying to get that information. And again, sort of as a team and a collective, often we're reliant on individuals having particular areas of interest and strength, and updating each other more than often.
Yeah. And in terms of sort of like working patterns for you, do you find yourself regularly called in out of hours and things? Do you not mind that too much?
I guess you can't not mind it, because it comes with the job. And I think if you go into medicine, any speciality, that there'll be some degree of sort of out of hours work, if you like, and some more than others. I think one of the things that most places are moving towards these days is sort of 7-day working. And I think the idea that you sort of only have heart attacks Monday to Friday 9 to 5, I think, has hopefully been dispelled. But there are things that sort of lend themselves to sort of the more routine work. So most people still only want to attend a clinic during the week rather than at the weekend. But for out of hours work, again, it's sort of having that right balance of people available to cover that work. And so it's generally not too onerous. I think clearly if you're an interventional cardiologist working a very tight rota, you'll probably be up more often in the night than not. But for some people, again, that's one of the reasons why they like doing the job. Yeah. And I don't do intervention anymore. But when I did, I quite enjoyed getting called at 2 a.m. to go and fix someone's heart attack. It was quite sort of rewarding, and 99 times out of 100, at least, they got better and did okay. So that's again probably one of the reasons for choosing the speciality.
That's I find that quite sort of a refreshing view on that sort of stuff, because I think often you can working out of hours is for a lot of people quite synonymous with feeling miserable, but actually it's really cool to hear that that's actually one of the highlights of your
I don't think you have to be careful. I think the days when people were sort of absolutely snowed under and working sort of 1 in 3 nights and being up sort of all through the week and all through the night, I think hopefully have long since gone, and clearly there are some jobs that are busier than others, but I think we recognise that I think the mechanisms to make sure that people are supported are much better these days. Mm-hmm. And if there are jobs that are busy, or if people are finding it difficult, then help's much more available. I think you'll find that these days consultants generally are on the shop floor a lot more, a lot more ready and willing to come and help if they're not on the shop floor. So the days of sort of being left stranded on your own to cope as a medical registrar or below is not so much these days.
Really cool. So final question is for a new F1 or for a junior doctor rotating into cardiology, have you got any tips or advice that you would give to someone specifically coming to cardiology?
So whilst obviously this applies to cardiology, I think it's probably true for any area of interest particularly, is really just to try and make the most of your time in that speciality. I think a lot of people, potentially in terms of their career choices and job choices, often get influenced by the people they work with or where they work. Mm-hmm. And these things are very important, but sometimes that maybe overshadows the actual work related to the speciality itself. So I would hope that wherever anyone does a training post at whatever level, that there are opportunities to get involved with the speciality work itself. I think it's easy to get sort of tied down doing ward work all the time, but most places should be able to offer opportunities to, for instance, for cardiology, to come and watch angiograms, watch pacemakers, echoes, and get involved with some of the more sort of specifics of the speciality itself, because I think it's only when you've had that experience and been able to sort of witness what goes on maybe behind what most F1s would see on the ward that you really properly appreciate what the advantages of that speciality are.
And in terms of sort of like your patient groups who come in, are there particular skills that you would hope that a junior in cardiology would be able to develop, sort of, or areas of niche expertise, I guess?
And I think that in terms of the relationship and the interactions with patients, it's generic and it applies to all cases. Again, I think as we've already touched on, you've got a mixture of young, reasonably healthy patients who can present sometimes with quite significant and serious health issues related to their cardiac problems, and also you've got the other end of the spectrum, the more elderly patients who are quite frail, sometimes with cognitive impairment, sometimes quite dependent on others, and so the ability to sort of manage both ends of that spectrum, I think, is quite important.
Any other questions, Matthew?
Lovely.
Well, thank you so much, Ricky. We've really appreciated you having you on the show.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
This has been Contingency FM. Good evening and good night.